What a privilege to be here. What a blessing. I love being in God's house. I enjoyed Sunday school and now the worshiping of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And man, He is worthy, isn't He? If I were to come to you today in the English, in the Indonesian language, I'd come to you and say, Saya ma berkata terima kasih atas kesempatan ini untuk berbicara tentang Tuhan Yesus dan tentang Indonesia. I'm going to translate now so the pastor doesn't run me off for speaking in tongues. I'll translate her. But what I said in the Indonesian language was, thank you for the opportunity to come and talk to you about Jesus Christ and about Indonesia. I enjoy talking about Jesus Christ, and I believe we as God's people ought to be ready and excited to talk about Jesus Christ because He has done so much for us, hasn't He? I think it should just flow out of our hearts. And sometimes, and maybe you guys aren't ever this way, but sometimes I'm not as always excited as I ought to be to talk about Jesus. But the reason is because I've not spent the time I ought to in meditating on God and who He is and what He has done. But as I spend more time in this, I want to tell more people about Jesus Christ. The more time I spend in God's Word and meditating on it, the more I enjoy fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. So I enjoy talking about Jesus Christ, and shouldn't I? And we all should. And we've got to say, man, we've got to be careful or other things will fill up our hearts and our minds. Man, what a tremendous class we had today in Sunday school talking about dealing with our emotions and having the right emotions and being able to discern what emotions we're having and making sure the Word of God is flowing through our hearts and our minds. But man, the world has such a menu of things we can fill our hearts with, right? I mean, you name it, the world's like, okay, well, we can get you to think on that and we can get you to think on that or maybe you can be consumed with that and not all of them are bad things. But we've got to make sure that we are careful to fill our hearts and lives up with Jesus Christ and His Word. So I enjoy talking about Jesus Christ. So thank you for the opportunity to talk about Jesus. Because of what He has done for me, I like talking about Him. But I also like talking about Indonesia because of what God wants to do for them. Man, I'm glad that I get to tell people about Jesus Christ in Indonesia. Here's the thing. When you got saved, aren't you glad that you weren't the last person to get saved? I mean, you think about it. What happens is when God changes us on the inside, He changes our desires, and all of a sudden we have this new desire and care and concern for other people. Why is it? It's because God changes us. He changes and He makes us a new creation in Christ Jesus, and He changes our desires and our hearts. So now we change and we care about others. Now I know that naturally, who do we care about? Ourselves. I know that's who I care about. You know, I'm driving down the road, and you know what? I want the temperature in the car to be where I like for the temperature to be. And typically, it's too hot in my car. And I told my wife, I said, hey, are you comfortable? Can I cut the heat off yet? Can I dial it down a little bit? And we've got one of those fancy vans, you know, our 2004 Dodge Grand Caravan. We got that thermostat where you can get my side a little bit more comfortable. But doesn't it make sense for me to care about my concern and my comfort? But God changes us, and it doesn't make sense anymore. We care about others. I'm not saying we never wrestle with that ever again, but God gives us a care and compassion for other people. And you have a care and concern for your lost loved ones, don't you? You have prayer requests, and they're not all about your needs. And sure, hey, we need to share those with our church family so we can pray together. But some of those requests have nothing to do with our benefit. It has to do with the care and concern of other people. So I brought this here with me today. Make sure I get it right. Here's my Google Map, okay? Y'all like my Google Map? That's how much technology Josh Ewing knows about, okay? But now the difference with this one, if you want to zoom in, you have to walk forward. That's how this one works. But aren't you glad that God loves the world? You know who that includes? All of us. That includes me. That's probably my first thought. But God changes us, and then we care about other people in another country you've never met before. Might not ever meet until we get to heaven if they know Jesus Christ. But aren't you glad that God loves the world? Aren't you glad that based on the Word of God, and that's where we base our standings, right? It has to be on the Word of God. You have a great pastor. I've enjoyed fellowship with him already. But we cannot base our beliefs on his words, right?
But we have to base it on the Word of God. We can't base it on a TV preacher or a local preacher. We can't base it on anyone. We can't base it on our grandparents, our parents, even our own selves. We can be deceived, can't we? But the Word of God is true. And that's what we can build our foundation on, is the Word of God. And the Bible still says, "For God so loved the world." What a beautiful verse. What a beautiful verse. And it's not just the beauty of the verse, it's the beauty behind it, that God loves the world and everybody in it. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is a propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. So we get to go and take this message to everyone and tell them about Jesus Christ. Now we know the heavy truth. The Bible tells us that most of the world will reject the gospel. The Bible tells us there's a broad way that leads to destruction, and that should break our hearts, but it should not break our will to keep going, to share the story. We can't make people accept the gospel, can we? I can't change my kid's favorite flavor of ice cream. My son, he's like his dad. He likes to eat, and I love to eat, and sometimes we might get ice cream as a family, and you know what? My son, he gets the ice cream he knows I don't like. You know why? So I don't eat some of it. So I love chocolate. I love mint. But you put them together, I'm just not a big fan. Please don't throw any songbooks at me. Just chocolate, mint, ice cream. It just doesn't make sense to me. But that's what he gets. Just to mess with his dad, you know. We can't change people, can we? But we can tell them the story of Jesus Christ, and God can do a work in their lives. And I'm so glad that he can. And that's our hope when we go to Indonesia, is we just tell people about Jesus. You guys know where Indonesia's at? Some of you might. Some of you are staring at it. If you can find the Philippines, you're right there at it. So here's on the other side of the world, down under, you know, a different time zone. Here's the Philippines yellow. Here's red of Australia. And there's Indonesia. See the green islands on this map. Like I said, it's not a big map. You can look at it later on your phone or computer. I love exploring Indonesia on Google Maps. It's amazing. You actually can walk down streets now. They've done it, so they've taken a car with a camera on top of it, and they drive through the streets, and it just takes pictures. So you actually can click and walk through the streets of Indonesia. It's amazing. But that's Indonesia. It doesn't look like much, does it? Anybody want to guess how many islands are in Indonesia? No Googling it. Anybody want to guess? 7? 50? 1,000? Who said 1,000? Whew! That's a big number, isn't it? He's the closest so far. 17,000 islands in the country of Indonesia. There's a bunch. And that covers about the same space as the United States. So it doesn't look like much, but you know what? We just keep learning about this great world that God has created, right? Now, they say that number changes at high tide or low tide. So you guys might know a little bit about that more than I do. But you've got that high tide, low tide, and some of them are super small. But there are 6,000 islands with people living on them. And that's what we're concerned about, right? It's about people. It's about people. As we continue to learn about the world and God's creation, we've got to be careful, or we'll focus on all of the things of this world. The geography of Indonesia, amazing. There is volcanoes. There are mud volcanoes. Have you ever heard of that? I'll talk to you about that after church if you like to. It's amazing. All the things you can say, the flowers, the islands, the animals there. There's a Komodo dragon, one of my favorite animals. There's orangutans. Just amazing, all these things, but we've got to be careful, or we'll get sidetracked on the creation, and we won't focus on the Creator. We'll focus on what's in this world and not what's to come and in the next world, and we've got to be focused on that. So a lot of people in Indonesia, they say there's around 270 million people in the country of Indonesia. It's the fourth most populated country in the world. First, you have China, and then India. They're neck and neck for first and second place. Third place is the United States, and then fourth most populated country in the world is Indonesia. Such a great, great need there. But our God is sufficient. The payment of Jesus Christ, His blood was sufficient. And so we just go and tell the story of Jesus Christ to those people of Indonesia. Right now, though, currently, it's 87% Muslim. It's the largest Muslim country in the world, but we can still get into the country. On my visa, it says Independent Baptist Religious Leader. That's our visa that we get to get into the country. So what an opportunity, what a privilege. The door is still open. We just need to keep walking through it. And honestly, we need a lot more missionaries. So I want you to pray about being a missionary to Indonesia. I want you to pray about raising up others to be missionaries to Indonesia. You know, someone would never be called to Indonesia without God working through people and studying the world. We're not going to find "go ye into Indonesia," are we, in the Bible? So how does a young person go from "I'm going to church and learning the Bible" to "I'm going to go somewhere else and teach the Bible"? It's God has to work through us as we teach them about the need of the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Who does that include? That really includes everyone, doesn't it? But the disconnect is we think that it's Josh Ewing that's going to do the work, but it's not. We think Josh Ewing's a great guy and his family is really sweet. Man, I love my family, but it's not our ability. It's God's ability. I love show and tell when I was a kid, okay? That's probably the only day of the week I paid attention, so I brought show and tell for y'all, so y'all pay attention. Now, can y'all keep a secret? I'm going to play a trick on the kids after church, okay? But please don't tell them. So what I have is an Indonesian top. It's made to spin and whistle. The guy who created it designed it to spin and whistle. And it's just made out of bamboo, but there's a little notch there. And if you get it spinning fast enough, it'll whistle. Now, I'm not going to tell them. I'm just going to ask them to see if they can do it, okay? Typically, they can't. This carpet might even help me out, make it easier to let them know they can't do it. The thing is, I don't tell them I've got a string in my pocket, okay? And do you know that God has a purpose for each one of us? But we get our, man, I keep going back to the Sunday school lesson, the emotions. What happens is we go through life, yeah, I believe God will do something in my life. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sunday school teacher said I could do something and God could use me. Okay. But then when things don't work out the way we think, we kind of step back and say, I guess it's not me. I guess you have to be perfect like the pastor and his wife. I guess you have to be infallible like them. And they just know so much about the Bible. We were talking about people that have ministry and God uses for years. They've been in the ministry and God teaches them. They have wisdom and then they teach other people. It's not about that person who's teaching. It's about the God who taught. So I pick on the kids and I say, see if you can get a spin and whistle. That's what it's designed to do. And you guys know that God has a plan for each one of our lives, doesn't he? But then the problem is we go through life trying to do it on our own. And then we get discouraged and we're like, man, this is not going well. I give up. I'm not going back to church. I feel like I'm not good enough to go to church. I'm not as good as those people. And they probably criticize me. Oh, that's just the devil. The devil trying to discourage you and discourage me. So then after they try it and it doesn't work out, I say, oh, I forgot to show you this string. So then this string is just regular string. But the thing about it is every time I wrap the string around it, I'm actually preparing it to do what it was created to do, right? Do you think God's created you? Who gave you life? Sometimes we have to, Sunday school lesson, I'm talking about Sunday school a lot this week, today, aren't I? But Sunday school lesson moving forward is going to be talking about dealing with things in this world, sin. And we have to address it. We can't just say, oh, I don't talk about that. No, we have to deal with it from the Bible. And we learn that. So as God prepares you, he is teaching you and preparing you to do a work in this world. So every time I wrap this string around this top, I'm preparing it to do what it was created to do. Every time you walk into God's house, every time you open up God's Word, every time you and I have a Spirit-filled conversation about the Word of God, about ministry, about life, God is preparing us for the next conversation that we are going to have. And he's preparing us so that we are prepared to do what he has created us to do. Now, I have a prayer card with my family's picture on it, so you can pray for us as we go start churches in Indonesia. You might not have a prayer card that says you're a missionary to this community, and make one. We'll pray for you. But God has a plan for each one of us. Sometimes we disconnect it. We think he's a minister, but I'm just a church member. Well, Josh Ewing, he's a missionary, but I'm just a church member. No, we all have the same holy God inside of us, the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God. So we are being equipped to do the work that God has for us to do. You are all ministers. And so I'm going to show you real quick this. You might not be able to see it, but I'll show it to you afterwards. Maybe you can hear it if it goes the right way. So typically kids can get it to spin once or twice or something. No sound ever comes out of it. But isn't that our lives? If we try to go through this life by ourselves and figure out what we're going to do and how this is going to happen, how this is going to happen, it doesn't work out. But if we would give ourselves to God and say, God, you are going to be the one that tells me what to fill my heart with. And if it does not align up with your word, I'm going to push it out of my heart. And God, you're the one that tells me what to do with my life. I know I'm not comfortable. I know I'm not confident when I go and share the gospel with someone that's lost. But God, if you want me to do it. I'll follow your plan. Can you turn with me to Genesis? Genesis 30. Let's go to Genesis 42. Make that 41. I'll get it here in a minute. Indonesia is a huge country, so needy that sometimes, Josh Ewing, this is just me, church, I kind of want to back away from the need. It's like the job. Husbands, have you ever had a honey-do list from your wife? And you're like, honey, you keep putting stuff on it. How am I ever going to get caught up? Well, sometimes maybe there's a project. And the project seems so big, you're like, I don't even want to get started on that project because I know I'm going to live at Home Depot. I'm going to forget everything that I need, so I'm going to spend most of my time back and forth, you know, and I probably don't even have the right tools, you know, because I'm not that guy, you know, and all these things. Well, God has a job for us, and it's to go tell the world about Jesus. We can't fix people. We can't make them accepted. But we can go introduce them to Jesus. And after we get done with that, you know what? We need to make another lap and do it again. But most of the people have never heard the gospel in the world. They've never heard that someone else has paid for their sins, that Jesus Christ has done the work, and they can't pay for their sins. And the best they have before God is like filthy rags. I stand before you as a missionary to Indonesia, but it's nothing that I can do of myself. And I want you think about the story of Joseph, if you would. Do you think Joseph was the one that could really be the hero in this story? Absolutely not. It was God. He just wanted to use someone. And Joseph was the one that he wanted to use. Do you know the story? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But here's the backdrop. There is a famine that's coming to this land. And I know there's some dark days in America, even right now. What a change that's happened in America in a short amount of time. But can you imagine not having any food whatsoever? All the food's gone. What's going to happen? All the people are going to die. Well, this famine is coming. And here in Genesis 41, Genesis 41 in verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what? He is about to do. Do you see that again? God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Do you know how we know the mind of God, church? Through the Word of God. So if you take away the Word of God, do we really know the mind of God? Absolutely not. The world is trying to tell us what God is doing around us. The world is trying to tell us about the character of God. But without the Word of God. Man, if you believe in God and your God's letting all this bad stuff happen, your God must be bad. But you and I know the Word of God, don't we? So we reject that philosophy. We reject those truths about God because we know it's not truth about God. He is a loving God. And my God, the God of the Bible. And let me make this very clear. This is not our book, is it? I mean, we love it, but we didn't create it. We didn't get together and say, hey, let's find a path towards God and heaven. Our ancestors didn't think this up. This was from God, and God has given us His plan of salvation. It's a loving God giving His Son to die on the cross. Does that sound like a mean and angry God? a God that lets bad things happen because he is just a mean and angry and bad God. No, he is loving and kind. But we know the mind of God because we have the Word of God. And here, this story is that God was trying to show Pharaoh what he was about to do. So what was about to happen was this famine was coming and everyone was going to die. But God in his love said, I want to rescue. I want to save people. I want to use these people to be a blessing later on. So I'm going to preserve them alive. But the famine is coming. You know, today we have sin. And we understand that the effects, the consequences of sin is death. Not just death in our bodies, which is a terrible thing. But far greater is to be eternally not separated from our body, but to be separated from God forever. That is true death. And you and I know the truth is that death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So what is the answer? The answer is Jesus Christ came to pay for the sins of the world. But now how are they going to be rescued? Let's pray and ask God's blessings about this time. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here with your people. Thank you for the fellowship. God, please use your word. Use me to share your word and encourage and challenge your people. God, get glory to your name. We'll praise you for what you do through it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We have this famine. It is coming. Joseph can't stop the famine, but God is going to use him in a mighty way. So let's back up a little bit. It starts with this little shepherd boy. And he's just working for his dad, and he's got a nice coat because his dad loves him so much. But he had this dream. Go back with Genesis 37. Genesis 37 is where I start reading this story, and it just amazes me. Here was Joseph. He was feeding the flock with his brethren, and then he tells the report, the evil report. But then, look at verse 4, Genesis 37, verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Church, are we promised by God that everything's going to be easy in our lives? Everybody's going to say, oh man, you're my best friend. I just love you so much. No, sometimes we're going to have opposition. Joseph has that. Verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And verse 8, and his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? He tells them the story, and they interpret it to say, you think you're better than us? They say in this verse 8, and his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more. Look at verse 9. This catches my attention. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it his brethren. I might have just said, hey, Joseph, just stop sharing the dreams with your family. They don't like them. But after he shares it again, does it get better? Does everything just go really rosy for him? No. So I want us to picture this. We know the famine's coming. There's this great need, and people are going to die if something doesn't change. But it starts way back over here in this young man's life, and he's like, I've got this dream, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be grand. And no one really understood it. Can I ask you, do you have a desire to serve the Lord? Do you have something that you're excited about, that you believe God's going to use you and work through your life? I don't think Joseph understood everything that was going to happen in the future, but man, he sure was excited. I mean, he just told everybody about it. So if we could compare ourselves in that light and ask ourselves, am I excited about what God's going to do in my life? If I could back up in my life, so I'm 40 years old now. If I could back up a little bit, I remember my wife and I, we got married. God brought us together. I was a missionary kid. The first time I went to Indonesia, I was 10 years old, and God used that time to burn my heart about missions. I came back to the States, and I met this really cute girl. I said, man, I need to talk to her some more. And we did talk some more. Ended up, we got married, and God took our family and sent us to Indonesia as missionaries. Right out of Bible college, we raised our support and took off to Indonesia, and I was super excited about what God was going to do. And I likened myself almost the way Joseph was right here. It was like, yes, God's going to do something. It's going to be great. And there's going to be no problems because we're serving God, right? I had this thought in my mind that, you know, if you serve God, no problems will come in your life. I mean, the check engine light on the car is never going to turn on again. You don't need the insurance car because you're never going to have to go to the doctor again because you love Jesus. You're not going to get sick because you love God. Joseph, he was excited. But did everything just go easy for him? No. We went to Indonesia, and man, I was excited about reaching Muslims with the gospel of Jesus Christ. My parents have been there since 1991. They're still there today. Praise the Lord, serving God. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to Indonesia. I'm going to die on the battlefield. Looking back, you know what happened, though? We ended up having to come off the mission field and stop being missionaries. Some health issues came up. God's taking care of those health issues, but as we look back at what was going on, it had a lot to do with the devil attacking us. If you want to serve God, do you think the devil's going to be like, hey, guys, back off. They're trying to serve God. No. I mean, you're like, there's three guys not doing anything for Jesus. Why don't the devil go bug them? Because they're not doing anything. I was like, I'm going to serve God. And man, it seems like just the battles came and the hardships came and the discouragement came. So we came off the field and I'm like, that didn't work out well. And I see this in Joseph's life. He's like, man, this is going to be great. It's going to be grand. And he goes out and he's like, I'm going to obey Dad. I'm going to just show up for work. Hey, Dad, you want me to go check my brothers? Okay, I'll go check my brothers. So he goes on there. And what happens? They see him coming. They say, hey, guys, let's make a plan. And I grew up in church all my life, and I remember reading through the story or hearing it taught, and somehow I twisted the story a little bit and didn't get it right. I thought their plan was to capture him and sell him. The Bible tells us a very different story. And you know what the story is? They were going to capture him and kill him. That was their plan. You know what the devil wants to do to you? He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy you. But what happens in Joseph's life? God protected him. That doesn't sound like protection. Because in my mind, when I write my story, I want God to protect me from hardships. But sometimes God protects us through the hardships. So we came back off the field and we were discouraged. I was like, God, why did this happen and this happen? And I thought it was just going to be smooth sailing. No Christian man had ever taught me, hey, Josh, if you serve God, no problems are going to ever hit you. But I had it in my mind. But God taught us through this time. God worked in our lives. I ended up coming back to the States. You know what? As God worked in Joseph's life, look over in Genesis 39, if you would, with me. Genesis 39, what happened here is he gets sold into slavery. Here's this kind of a rich kid. That's why I'm picturing it. You know, life was going easy for him, but then he gets sold into slavery. Genesis 39 and verse 2, as a slave, the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Wait a second. Okay, God, you protected me from dying in the pit, but why didn't you protect me from being sold as a slave? Okay, God, you're being prosperous, but this doesn't look like prospering. You're making me a prosperous slave, but I thought there's this prosperity life was going to be so different than this. God took care of our family in a mighty way. We came back to the States, and our pastor said, what are you going to do for a living? I said, I don't know. I'm going to work hard, and God's going to provide. What does an independent Baptist missionary look like on a business resume? I mean, you walk into the office, hey, business guy, here's my resume. I don't know. This is what God did. God gave me a full-time salary to go back to school, to get trained, and I had a full-time salary all throughout that. God gave me a new job, a new career in the financial industry, and God blessed in a mighty way. It had zero to do with me, but God was working through that. Fast forward a few years. Difficult times were all throughout that. But I remember one day I was at work early that morning. And I was reading my Bible, doing my devotions that morning early before work. And something popped up on my computer. I said, huh, there was something, a calendar notification. And so I went into my calendar and it said that I had an invite from my boss's boss's boss. I'm like, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to have a meeting with them. Why do they want to talk to me? Am I in trouble? And so I contacted my boss and ended up, they were out on vacation this week, and they said, I need you, Josh, to get me in on that teleconference. I'm like, you get yourself in on that teleconference. I can't tell your boss what to do. And I was scared and nervous. So there that day, I remember walking back in the back to that office room, and a buddy of mine said, "Are you getting fired?" Just laughing and joking, you know. I got fired that day. I was like, "God, you've protected, you've helped, you give me this job, and now I'm losing it. And what's going to happen?" And it was just like, man, I texted my wife. I said, "Pray. I just lost my job. Let's not tell anybody. Let's just pray." So I came back out, and my head was kind of swirling. And I remember sitting down, and they give us all these lists of, "Hey, you can get a job here in this state or maybe in this state." I said, "No, I'm working at my church." I was a deacon, a Sunday school teacher. And Indonesia was not in my mind, but I was just thinking, God, we got to pay the bills. Ended up that day, I got another job offer sitting at the exact same desk with a 40% raise. God was taking care of me. Sometimes we read the story of Joseph, and then we disconnect ourselves from the God of the Bible. We think the God of the Old Testament worked in miraculous ways, but in our life, it's just terrible. I share that quick story with you because I want you to know that God took care of us through the hard times and through the confusing times of what's happening. Fast forward a few years. We've been back in the States 7 years and just serving in our church, just being the church members that I think every member ought to be, just serving in our community, in our church. And then God started burning our hearts about Indonesia, about going back. And I was just like, but Lord, we've already tried that. I want you to think about Joseph's life. When he was a shepherd boy, do you think he would be able to go straight in to Pharaoh's house and give him a word from God? "Hey, you knocking on the door. Hey, servants, I need you to let me in. I need to talk to Pharaoh. I got a word from God." They would have laughed at him. He might have died. But God was at work in Joseph's life. And then God brings him out of that. It's like he was really excited about what was going to happen, but then the excitement was over as he was thrown in and being a slave. And then he was tempted, and then he was lied about, and then he was a prisoner. And all throughout all of his life, he just stayed faithful to God. Joseph, our son, I'll say this about him because he's not in here. He is the tallest guy in our family. He's the tallest person in our family now. I'm not really sure I appreciate that, but he didn't ask me. Do you know how Joseph got to be the tallest in the family? He kept showing up to the supper table. That's it. And man, he can eat, you know, just like his dad. I just grow in other ways. But you know what? You know how we need to be as Christians? We keep showing up to the supper table. Keep showing up to church. Be faithful to God. Be faithful in your personal devotions. We as God's people, we need the meat and the potatoes and the dessert and the fruit of the Word of God. We need to stay in the Word of God. No matter what's going on, whether it's 2019 or 2020 or 2021, we need to be in God's Word. We need to feast on the Word of God. We need to be in God's house. We need to be watching online. We need to do everything that we can to pour the Word of God into our lives because God has a plan for our lives. And sometimes God leads through those difficult times. Turn with me to Genesis 50, please. Are you and I confident in what God is going to do in our lives? Are we confident even in the hard times? Are we confident when we are confused and we're not really sure what's going on? The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So my wife and I went to Indonesia. We were serving the Lord. Things were going well, but then we ended up coming off. We were excited, and then it seems like the life that we wanted was over. Came back discouraged, but God took care of us through it all. God blessed. He paid the bills. He took care of our family. He grew us. He continued to work in us. He gave us an opportunity to serve in our church. And we just had this time of growing and serving the Lord. It was great. But then God started leading us back, and I was starting to argue with God. I was like, Lord, right out of high school, out of Bible college, I was ready to go, but now I've got a mortgage, and I've got this job, and I got this Christmas bonus coming up, and I can serve you better from right here. I was starting to bargain with God. We learned about that in Sunday school, too. We don't need to try to bargain and barter with God. I was doing that. I was like, hey, God, I can give more to missions. I can train up some more people. I can send other people. But God was wanting us to go. My wife and I were talking about it. man, God was just at work in both of our lives. I felt like she was like a step ahead of me. I was like, man, she was excited about going back. And I was like, I don't know. You know, I'm just not sure. And you know, this is, I got the job. And, you know, God leads through career changes, right? You know, he kind of, no. Sometimes God leads away from money. We know that, don't we? Sometimes the raise is that away in another state, but God wants you to be right here in this church. Continue to serve here. Maybe we need to stay where we're at. Well, God was leading us back to Indonesia. Then we had a missionary come by our church. It's dangerous having missionaries come by your church, Pastor. And we had a missionary come by our church and give an update, and guess who it was? It was my dad. And I was dying. I was like, man, he was talking about the need of more missionaries in Indonesia. I hope and pray that you are burdened for your community, for your ministry, for the people that you come in contact with. And God was burdening my heart. Man, we've got to have a burden, church, for the lost. So my dad was there. He presented. I was like, man, I'm just... So he sat down. And then, guess who preached that night? A missionary. I was like, Lord, you're killing me. Holy Spirit. And this is what the missionary said that night. He said, maybe you've stepped out of the boat before and you sank. He said, but maybe you need to get out of the boat again. Church, there are going to be times where we are excited about serving the Lord and we step out and we serve God and it doesn't go the way we had thought. So then we want to just back away from it and say, I give up. I've tried that. But we need to get back at it again. We need to go at it again. So that was a Sunday. Ended up that Wednesday, my wife and I surrendered to go back to Indonesia. 2 weeks later, I put in my two-week notice. I put in my two-week notice that week at a job, at a career, and left. And God is taking care of us. Right now, we're almost at 60% of our need to support as we're headed back to Indonesia. That's through COVID. God is providing. God is taking us back to Indonesia. But you know what? God has used all this time to work in our family, to help us. But then my wife and I, we were struggling with, what about our teenagers? Our oldest daughter is 17. Our son, he's 14. Olivia's 9. We said, what about our teenagers? You know, they tell you these changes are tough. Sometimes a different school. Well, we're talking about a lot bigger change than just changing schools. And that was on a Wednesday. But we said, Lord, we're going to trust our children into your care. As we go back to Indonesia, we trust you're going to take care of them. You're going to help them through this as we help them for sure. But there's only so much a parent can do. They were at camp that week, and they came back at the end of that week on a Friday and said, Mom, Dad, we've surrendered to go anywhere in the world God would have us to go. Now, how did that come to pass in the same week? It wasn't because Josh is really good at planning, because I'm not. My wife's the planner. She's the organized one. And I was just like, God, you're going to have to do this, and God is doing it. Joseph, who was at work in his life? Who kept him safe in that pit? Who helped him in that as a slave and as a prisoner? And who helped him keep his sanity as he was serving other people and pointing people to God all throughout his life? It was God. God was at work. But let's go to Genesis chapter 50 and see what he says as he looks at his story. Here's his brothers coming to him, and he's talking to his brothers. He says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. You know what? I believe that God is not done with the Ewing family. I believe God is at work in our lives. I think he's been at work all throughout this time. I made some mistakes. And I look back and say, man, I should have done this. I should have done that. But you know what? My hope is in the Lord, not in me and my track record. Maybe you have been excited about serving the Lord. And maybe today you're maybe a little down. You're like, I think maybe God's done with me. Hey, if you're still breathing, God's not done with you yet. He has a plan of using your life to bring other people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then when they get saved by God's grace, God also wants to use you to pour in the milk of the Word to help those young people grow up and to mature and then shoulder responsibility here in this church to serve and work together. I remember as my kids were very young, you know, you teach them the smallest things first, right? Just clean up your toys. And that's what God wants to do, is to have you be the mature Christian. Not that any of us have arrived, but God's wanting us to help other people. That's what God wants in Indonesia, is for us to share the gospel, teach the Word of God, to see people get saved by God's grace, and then pour in the Word of God to them, be patient with them and help them as new babes, and then lead them along, and God's going to do a work. Who was the one that orchestrated all this work in Joseph's life? It was the Lord. But sometimes you and I, we get discouraged, and that's where the devil wants us to stay, is to stay discouraged, just give up, quit. Ministry is not for you. Serving God in your church is not for you. Let someone else do it. They're better at it than you. No, none of us are better at it. It's all God at work through us. Whether you're singing or ministering in music or you're teaching or you're inviting your neighbors, your co-workers, your family, whatever you're doing in this church, God is using you for His honor and glory. Get back up and serve the Lord by faith. Don't allow the hardships to get you out of ministry. Serve other people and see what God's going to do in and through our lives. Please pray for us. We're excited about as God's leading us back to Indonesia, but I'm also excited about what God's going to do through your life right here in this church. My wife and I do not leave America because we think everything's taken care of here. Our heart is heavy about our own country, but we've got to go where God wants us, right, church? Well, if God's not leaving you, moving you to another country, then God has a plan for you right here in this community, right here in this church. Let's pray and work by faith together. Let's pray, and I'll turn it over to the pastor. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, and I thank you for how you've encouraged me through this story of Joseph. I pray that you'd encourage your people. Maybe there's someone that has been excited in the past, but they're discouraged today. I pray they'd get back up and serve you by faith. Lord, maybe there's someone here today that's not saved. Lord, they've never put their trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I pray that today would be the day they would call on you to save them. Please do a work in our hearts that only you can for your honor and glory. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much.
All right, if the men will come, we'll go ahead and receive the